All right, Shabbosai, good morning. We're gonna begin. Today's daf is daf Yud Ches. Today's daf is daf Yud Ches. We are gonna begin. We have a lot to do today. We are gonna begin on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. It's actually like we're doing 2 days in one day over here. Okay, so we left off on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Right before the lines get wide, 4 lines from before the lines get wide. So a lot to do today. And also I want to thank Noah Fine for the refreshments. Yashar Koach, Noah. Thank you very much. And to thank Hananya Mirav Lasker for sponsoring the show this morning in the merit of a refuah shlema from Mirav's father, Gedalia ben Hena. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah have a complete and enduring refuah. So we left off yesterday. We left off with a discussion about the Yud Gimel Midos, the 13 attributes. So remember, again, we saw the beautiful Gemara that said that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Yud Gimel Midos, Melamed Shenis Atei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Keshliach Tzibor. As if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrapped himself like a chazan, like a Shliach Tzibor, in order to be able to go ahead and recite the Yud Gimel Midos. So now the Gemara goes through them. Hashem, Hashem. Why does he say Hashem's name twice? Ani Hu called him Shiach Ta'adam. I am God, I am there before man's sins, and I am there after man's sins. The idea ultimately is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that sin does not sever the relationship, sin maintains the relationship and allows us to remain connected, despite the fact that there's a relationship trespass. So he goes on, I'm sorry, Ani hu la'achar shiachata adam v'ya'aseh tshuva. El rachum v'chanun, I am again a compassionate God. Rachum, compassion. Chanun, compassionate. Amar Yehuda, bris krusal yud gimel midos. There is a covenant that was affected for the 13 attributes. What's this? That what? Sheinon chol zros reikam. The Tavos say they never return empty-handed. It's such a profound yisod. Because we got back to, we were talking about earlier the idea that Iyun Tfila, we actually spoke this between Mincha and Maariv last night as well, that the concept that when one davens, one is not permitted to go ahead and just expect that their tefillah is going to be answered. Yet again, interestingly enough, over here, the Gemara says that the covenant that was created with the 13 attributes is that they never return empty-handed. They always affect some level of change. Shnei Emar, Hine Anochi Koris Bris. Am Rabbi Yochanan. Gedola Tshuva, will say an amazing Gemara. Shemek Karas Gezer Adino Shal Adam. Rabbi Yochanan says, see how great Tshuva is, that literally it tears apart the decree of man, which means that even if man has Chas HaShalom decreed for something negative, at the end of the day, tshuva has the ability to tear up that decree. Shene Emar, because he quotes over here again, quotes over here the pasuk. This is a pasuk from Yeshaya. Hashmein leiv ha'amaze, va'aznav hachbe. Literally, the heart of this people have become fat. Their ears are heavy. Einav hesheh, their eyes have become dim. Pen yira be'einav uba'aznav. Yishma u'levavo yavin. Because if their ears heard and their eyes saw and their heart was able to understand, they would return to me, and I would heal them. So what do you see from there? You see from there that the fact that the lashon of verapelo, of ultimately again, of healing, is associated with tshuva, that verapelo. Okay. Verapelo. Okay. All right. This is a sugya of tshuva, so I'm going to keep my midos in check. I'm going to work on myself. Verapelo. So what happens? So again, so you see that the Navi clearly says that when it comes to tshuva, there's a healing process. So you see from here that what? You see from here that tshuva has a healing type of healing effect that has the ability to heal even the most damaged soul. Amalei Rav Papa Labai. Thank you. See, here's what we've just proven. Remember, this is very important because this is going to be a big part of our discussion over the next bit of Gemara. So we have again Rabbi Yochanan essentially telling us that tshuva is so great in that it has the ability to affect change even after man has a negative decree. So even if there's a negative decree from God, tshuva has the ability to tear up that decree, to which the Gemara, which I will say is an incredibly profound yisoon, because what it's saying is tshuva has the ability to reverse circumstances. So the Gemara says, well, 1 second, Amrli Rav Papa La'Abaye, so Rav Papa said to Abaye, they were discussing this, the Dilma Lifnei Gizardin. So Rav Papa said to Abaye, well, maybe not, maybe Rav Yochanan brings right from a pasuk from Yeshaya that says that tshuva has like a restorative healing quality to it. Maybe that restorative healing quality is when? Before there's a decree. So before HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides on his decree, if you do tshuva, you could affect change. But once there's a gzardin, once there's a decree, perhaps again, that's it. There's nothing more to talk about. So the Gemara says, Amrlei verapelo. No, because the Pasuk says what? The Pasuk says, in tshuva, he will be healed. Eizuhu davar shetzarech refua. So we'll say, interesting, if the Navi doesn't say the tshuva will affect change, the Navi says, tshuva will heal. When do you need healing? Have you omer zeh gzardin? We'll say, when does a person need healing? After, when there's what? When there's an illness, when there's a sickness. So therefore, again, the fact that the Navi phrases it as, I will heal you from your sickness, indicates, again, you're already in a state of sickness, which now, again, Rav Yochanan is understanding as a state of post-Gzardin. The Gzardin, the decree has already been handed down. Tshuva has the ability to reverse those circumstances. Meisvei, the Gemara raises a kasha. Hashav ben Sayim mochalalo. Lo shav ben Sayim. Afilu hevi kol eli nevayos shepa'olam ein mochalalo. So I'll say, if a person goes ahead and does tshuva, ben Sayim means in between. In between what? Rashi says, or ben Sayim, ben Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. So I will say, if a person goes, so the Brisa says like this, if a person does tshuva between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, he's forgiven. But if he did not do tshuva between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, even if he brought all of the Eli Nevayos were considered to be like the choicest of rams. I'm going to say whatever I want. Choicest of rams. Even a person brought all of the Eli Nevayos, he is not forgiven. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? What you see from, again, now what is the Gemara saying? If you do tshuva during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, you can be forgiven. If you don't do tshuva during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, you're not forgiven. Now that contradicts what Rabbi Yochanan said before. Because what did Rabbi Yochanan say before? Or what did it appear that Rabbi Yochanan said before? That tshuva has the ability to rip up the gzardin of a person no matter when it's done. Rabbi Yochanan's statement is not limited to a particular calendrical period of time. So the Gemara says, lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Habiyochid. Oh, now the Gemara is making another distinction. A distinction between the individual and between the tzibor. Apparently, the yachid, the individual, who of course is operating with less of a foundation of merit, so a yachid needs to do tshuva between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And if he doesn't take advantage of that time, apparently, according to our learning over here, a yachid may not have the ability to overturn the gzardin, to overturn the decree. On the other hand, a tzibor is not limited to the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, a tzibor, because again, remember, when you daven as part of a tzibor, you are operating with the collective merit of the people with whom you are davening. That collective group has the ability to do tshuva anytime. Smart says, is that true? Meisvei, this is an amazing Gemara. Eimi Hashem Elokech Haba. The Pasuk says that the eyes of Hashem are on it. Now, this Pasuk is specifically referring over here to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Asher Hashem Elokech HaDorish HaSat Tamid. So the Gemara says like this, Itim Lotova, V'itim L'ra'ah. So there are times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes are on the land for good, and times when it's on the land for not so good. What does that mean, Ketzad? Listen to this. Harisha Hayu Yisrael Rishon Gimurim. Listen to this. Let's say the Jewish people were absolute Rishon, they were wicked. And what happened? But Rosh Hashanah time. Paskus Rabosai, meaning that the Gzardin on Rosh Hashanah was that they were Rishayim. Okay, so they were Nechtim for Rishon. Now it's interesting, by the way, why does it say Rishon Gimum Rosh Hashanah? This goes back to what we learned before. And by the way, it reminds me, my sheep pointed out to me yesterday that Rav Chris Bedoy, I mentioned on Shas, Rav Chris Bedoy appears one time in Shas. In fact, he appears four times in Shas. It's interesting. He appears again in Rosh Hashanah. He appears in Sanhedrin. He appears in Krisus, and he appears in Horius. Just interesting. So thank you to Maishi for pointing that out to me.
Was he the rest of the time?
What? Sabbatical. So the Gemara says the following. So what happens? I mean, I'm not hinting at anything, but I'm just saying. So the Gemara says the following. So what happens? So let's say Yisrael are Rishon Gimur and Rosh Hashanah. So we'll say, the reason I'm mentioning Rabbi Chris Bedoy is because, remember, what did Rabbi Chris Bedoy say? That Rishon Gimurim are Nechtamin La'altar. Right, that the absolutely wicked are inscribed and sealed immediately when on Rosh Hashanah. So let's say again, Klal Yisrael are Rishoyim Gimur Rosh Hashanah, U'pasku lahem gishamim u'atim. And as a result, what happened? And as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that there would only be a limited amount of rain. What happened? This is very interesting. L'sov chazru b'hem. So we'll say, so imagine this scene. Rosh Hashanah, Klal Yisrael are Rishoyim are wicked, and therefore God decrees there's only going to be a limited amount of rain. And then what happens? Then they do tshuva. They do tshuva. And what happens? So what's the issue? The chazru b'hen, l'sol chazru b'hen, l'hosif alein i'efshar, shekvar nigzra gzera. God, kiviyachol, can't add more rain. Why can't he add on more rain? Because the gzera was already sealed. On the other hand, so what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu moridin bizmanon ala aretz hatzvicha lahem. Hakola fi ha'aretz. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? God can't increase the amount of rain because the gzera, when I say can't, he chooses not to increase the amount of rain because the gzera has already been sealed. But what can he do? He could strategically bring about the rain that was already ordained to fall. He can cause it to fall at important and auspicious times. And he could cause it to fall on what? On the land that requires it most. Same amount of rainfall, but again, the way it's given out, the way it falls is much more strategic. On the other hand, itim lura, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch whose eyes are on the land for a negative purpose, ketzad, hari shahayu Yisrael tzadikim gimurim b'Rosh Hashanah. Let's say again, when it came to Rosh Hashanah judgment, Klai Yisrael absolutely righteous. Upaska alein gishamim merubin. And what happens? And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decree we're going to have abundant rainfall. And what happened? L'sof chazru b'hen. And what happened about saying in the end? In the end, literally, we did shuva from our tzidkos, right? We went the other way. We went the other way, we became Rishayim. So what happens? L'fachos mehen i'efshar. To decrease the amount of decreed rainfall, God does not do why shekvar nigzera gzera, because the decree was already handed down. So rather, what happens? Ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu moridan shelo bizmanon. So what does God do? God brings down the rain at a time when it's not needed. Ala aretz she'ein tzrich lahen, on land that ultimately, again, doesn't require it. So they both say, so what do you see from here? You remember, this is a contradiction, or it's a kasha. Why? Because we just got finished saying that, remember the progression. Rabbi Yochanan says that tshuva has the ability to rip off even a negative divine decree. We then quoted a brayso that seemed to contradict that, and the way we resolved that was, oh, it depends. For the individual, tshuva could only go ahead and influence the decree when? During Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the prayer between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. For the congregation, for the collective, for the nation, tshuva has the ability to rip up the decree anytime. Now this brayso contradicts that. Because we'll say, if that was true, that the collective tshuva has the ability to rip up the decree anytime, then what? Then even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and decreed us for a little bit of rainfall, but we did tshuva, what should he do? Rip up the decree and give us as much rainfall as we're entitled to. To which the Gemara says, L'tova milikare ligzardinaihu velosif lehu. If that's true, that tshuva of the collective has the ability to rip up the divine decree, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu rip up the divine decree and give us more rain. To which Gemara says, and this is very interesting, shiny hasam de'efshar b'hachi. No. It's different over here. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu could meet our needs in this way. Others will say, what does that mean? That if whenever God can operate within the normal, natural course of events, that's what God actively chooses to do. So in this type of situation, yes, the original decree were because we were collectively Rishayim. Then we did tshuva. We became tzaddikim. We are technically entitled to more rainfall now. But if the Ribono Shel Olam just needs to tweak what he already established, that is divinely preferable to reworking or retooling the entire divine decree. So at the end of the day, this doesn't contradict what we said before, that indeed, collective tshuva does have the ability to change the divine decree any time throughout the year. It's just that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu can manipulate the present decree to meet our current spiritual reality, he would rather do that than what? Than create a whole new decree. Tashma. Yor dehayam ba'anios. Osei malacha b'mayim rabim hema. So we'll see here, the Gemara is quoting the Pasuk. Quoting the Pasuk from Tehillim. So literally, yor dehayam ba'anios. Those who go ahead and go descend to the sea in boats. Osei malacha b'mayim rabim. And they do their work on the great seas. Hema ra'u ma'aseh Hashem. They see the great works of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'nifla'osa b'metzula. Okay, so that says the Gemara. The Pasuk goes on. Gemara is actually quoting a couple of psukim over here from that same capital. This is capital Kuf Zayin. Vayomer, vaya'amot ruach sara, utiromem golov yachugu, v'yarnu'u kishikor. And what happens? They see the storm winds come along. The waves threaten to knock us over, to move us about like a drunkard. And they will call out to God when they are in distress. Yodu l'Hashem chasdo. And they will praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his chesed. So listen to this. Asalahen simanios ke'achin v'rakin shevetorah. We'll say, now if you look at this capital inside, you will see that essentially there are nuns in between each of these sentences. Now, the nuns between each of these sentences indicate that they're supposed to be reckoned on their own. What does it teach us? Achin v'raki means Torah, means like exclusionary phrases in the Torah. Lomar lacha, listen to this. Tzaku kodim gizardin na'anim. It comes to teach us that if they call out before the divine decree, they are answered. Tzaku la'achar gizardin eino na'anim. If they call out after the divine decree, they are not answered. So again, this is a contradiction. Why? Because we're talking about the collective over here, these group of sailors, these group of men who go out on the seas. And again, here the David HaMelech is telling us in Tehillim, if they call out, when they call out as a collective, if they call out before the Gzar, then they could change it. If they call out after the divine decree, they can't change it, which shows us what? That even the collective cannot go ahead and just change the divine decree at any time. To which the Gemara says, no. Hani nami ki yechidin damu. These individuals, these men who work on the seas, they're not considered like a collective. The collective means a much greater group of people. They are also considered to be like individuals, and therefore they are governed by the laws of individuals. The laws of individuals are both sides. The only time we have the ability to really influence the divine decree is when? Is ultimately, again, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Now, I want to be clear. This is one opinion. There, we've already seen other opinions, and we'll continue to see additional opinions, that a person has the ability to influence the Gzadin, the divine decree, anytime. This is just one model of Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara goes weiter. Tashma, another interesting case. Sha'ala Beluria Hagioras es Rabbi Gamliel. So Beluria was a woman, a convert. She asked Rabbi Gamliel the following question. K'siv b'sarashem, it says in your Torah, asher lo yisa panim. It says in your Torah that literally God will not lift his face, which of course means Chalish Baruch Hu will not show favor to an individual. Okay, uksiv, Yisa Hashem Panav Eilecha, and yet what does the other pasuk say? Kadosh Baruch Hu will show favor to you. So what's the pshat? Nitpala Rabbi Yossi HaKohen. So we'll say, interestingly enough, although this woman was asking Rabbi Gamliel the question, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen jumped in. Rabbi Yossi, why does Rabbi Yossi HaKohen jump in? Since Rabbi Yossi HaKohen was, yes, a Kohen, so therefore this pasuk of Yisa Hashem Panav Eilecha was very close to his heart. It was very close to his heart. See, he jumped in with an interpretation. Amar la, em shalacha mashal ma'adav adam. So he tells this woman, let me give you a mashal. What's the mashal? La adam sheno shebechaveir amareh. V'kava lo zman b'fnei hamelech. So what happens? Like an individual who borrowed money from his friend, and the borrower established a time that he was going to go and repay the debt. And he established this time in front of the king, meaning he took the king as his witness that he was going to repay the debt. And what happens? And the debtor swore by the life of the king that I'm going to repay the debt. He gives man velo pero. So what happens? The due date comes along and he didn't end up paying the debt. But lefayes es hamelech. This is how beautiful this is. So what happens? So now the debtor is embarrassed because what happened? He swore by the king's life that he was going to pay up the debt and he didn't do it. So he comes to beg forgiveness from the king. So listen to this. The king says to him, listen, Alvoni machalcha, my disgrace, the fact that you quote unquote took my name in vain, I forgive you. But you know what your bigger problem is? Lech upayis eschavercha. Don't worry about me. You owe someone money. So go and apologize to the creditor. Go and apologize to the person whom you promised to repay and you didn't repay. Listen to this. Hachinami, so to said, Rabbi Yossi. Was Rabbi Yossi HaKohen? Yeah, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen. Isn't that beautiful? This is. Kan ba'avero shebin adam lemakom. Kan ba'avero shebin adam lechazero. Rabbi Yossi, listen to this beautiful interpretation. So comes Rabbi Yossi HaKohen and says, Asher lo yisa. Well, let's work backwards. Yisa Hashem panav elecha. When will God show you favor? If I wrong God and I ask forgiveness from God, God will forgive me. What does it mean when the pasuk says, "Asher lo yisapanim"? God will not show favor. What is that referring to? That refers to interpersonal sin. God says, "What do you want from me? All right, I forgive you. It's fine. But I'm not your problem. Your fellow who you wrong, that's your problem." When it comes to interpersonal sin, it's not for, it's when it says God won't show you favor, it's not that God doesn't want to show you favor. So the Rebbe Shalom says, your problem, your issue is not with me, or it's only partially with me. I'll forgive my part, but more importantly, you have to go out and seek forgiveness from the person you wronged. Ad Sheba Rabbi Akiva, Velimeid. Oh, good, we're up to Yachas. Good. Ad Sheba. I don't know how I'm going to dig out of this one, to be honest. Okay. Ad Sheba Rabbi Akiva, Velimeid kan kodim gizardin kan la'achar gizardin. So we'll see, until Rabbi Akiva came along, and Rabbi Akiva said, And Rabbi Akiva said that actually it's referring to two different states. One is before the divine decree, one is after the divine decree. Meaning that what? Ash Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, when will God show you favor? When the decree has not yet been sealed. When won't God show you favor? When the decree has been sealed. Hachinami biyachid. Ultimately, and again, when does this refer to? This refers to an individual. This refers to an individual. That an individual only, apparently, in what begins as Rabbi Yochanan's model, now is Rabbi Akiva's model as well, an individual only has a limited window in which to affect the decree. What's the limited window? The limited window is, after that, once the decree is sealed, the individual can't change the decree. The tzibur, however, what? The tzibur has the ability to change the decree throughout the year. Now, I want to point something out. Even if you accept this model, that the individual does not have the ability to change the decree, the individual does have the ability to what? To manipulate the decree. Meaning the same way that we saw with the rainfall example, that you could take a decree, but that's set in stone. But yet God could manipulate it in a favorable fashion. It seems to be that the individual would have that ability as well. So Gemara says, "Ugzar din diyachid tenahi." In reality, the Gemara says, and I'll say, here's where it really comes to it comes to full actualization here. Listen to this. The Gemara says, the truth is, this whole subject is a machlokes tanoim. Disanya. Because I will say, I'm sure many of us, I always felt very spiritually distressed by this model of Rabbi Yochanan. Because the notion that your decree is locked in and you can't do anything about it, first of all, is a very fatalistic, almost like fate type of, you know, so what does that mean? So I have a 10-day window. I have a 10-day window throughout an entire year to get it right. And if I don't get it right then that's it. So Rabbi Yochanan would say, yes. Correct. That is correct. But again, I don't like it because it's also a lot of pressure. But it's hard to get your life act together for that. But listen to this. Gemara says, you're right. There are other opinions. This Sanya. Hayyar Meir said, listen to this for both sides. Rabbi Meir said, Shnaim Sha'ol Lumita, V'chulyon Shabbat. They both said, two people became sick with the same exact illness. And about similarly, two people went, Rashi points out, is base vad shadanim nefashos la'riga. Two people go into the courtroom to be judged for a death sentence. And what happens? And the truth is, they both did the same thing. And yet, what do we see in life? So two guys with the same illness are bedridden. One is healed, one is not healed. Zenitzal, Vezelo Nitzal. This one is saved by the court. This one's not saved by the court. What's the pshat? Nitnei Mazayar Vezelo Yara. Zenitzal Vezelo Nitzal. Why is this one spared? Why is that one not spared? Oh, to which the Gemara says, Zehispalo Vena'ane. Vezehispalo Velo Na'ane. Very simply, one of them davened and was answered. One of them was davened and wasn't answered. Now, I'll say, that's obvious. Okay, so the Gemara says, what does that mean? Nipnei ma ze na'ane, v'ze lo na'ane. So why is it that this one was answered and this one was not answered? Ze hispalel tefila shlema na'ane. This one who davened a complete tefila, he was answered. Rashi says, what's a complete tefila? Rashi says, niskaving. This one davened with kavana. This one didn't daven with kavana. Ze lo hispalel tefila shlema lo na'ane. So we'll say Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Eliezer. So we'll say, so again, in the first model, therefore, again, it would appear that the result of your circumstances is based on how intensely you pray. If you pray intensely, you'll get what you want. If you don't pray intensely, you won't get what you want. Rabbi Eliezer comes along and offers a different model. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, kan kodim gzardin, kan la'acher gzardin. The two different people, as much as they had the same situations, were in two different states. Apparently, again, the one who was healed, his prayers were, it was before the Gzardin, it was before the decree was sealed. Before the decree was sealed, an individual has the ability to manipulate his circumstances. Whereas the one who died, his decree was already sealed. Therefore, his prayers were not able to impact his circumstances. And Rabbi Yitzchak comes along and says, Yafet sa'aka la'adam. Rabbi Yitzchak says, I'm sorry. Rabbi Elazar, and who was the first one? And Rabbi Meir, I disagree with both of you. I disagree fundamentally with both of you. I disagree that it's just all about Kavana and Tefillah, and I disagree that it's before Gzardin, after Gzardin. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Yafet sa'aka la'adam, bein kodem Gzardin, bein la'achar Gzardin. Because Rabbi Yitzchak's position is, Tefillah, in treating God, supplications, petitional prayers, are always effective for the individual, whether it's before the decree, after the decree. I'm going to take it the only because I have a blot still to do. Right, so again, whenever you offer it, it's always effective. So the Gemara goes weiter. Din sibor mi mikra. So both say, again, so now what you've seen over here is these are three major shitos in ultimately, again, how we view the prayers or the effectiveness of prayers of the individual. So we've seen of the before Gzar Din, after Gzar Din model, we've seen the Tila with Kavana, Tila without Kavana model, and now we've seen Rabbi Yitzchok who says no. The truth is you always have the ability to change your circumstances no matter what. So the Gemara says, Gzar Din, the Tzibar Mimekra. Now I will say, the one part that the Gemara assumed was fact on Yud Zayin with Beis was that a tzibur always has the ability to change its circumstances through collective prayer, change the results. So Gemara says, is that true? Gzar din the tzibur mimikra is literally the gzar din of the tzibur torn up. V'haksi, the pasuk says, v'hakasuv echad omer, one pasuk says, kapseini meira libeich. So one pasuk says, we'll say again, this is in Yirmiyahu, kapsi meira libeich, literally, go ahead and cleanse me from the evil, from the negativity of your heart. Uksiv kim techabseni b'neser v'tabilach boris nechtam avonech lefanai. So we'll say, interestingly enough, again, so one pasuk says, cleanse me. The other pasuk says, even if you use soap and detergent and everything, and niter, literally, you'll never be able to cleanse yourself from sin. So what's the pshat? So the Gemara says, kan kodem gzardin, kan la'acher gzardin. One pasuk is referring to before Gzar Din, that's when you have the ability to cleanse. The second pasuk is after Gzar Din, when you don't have the ability to cleanse, to which the Gemara says, lo, idi vi idi la'achar Gzar Din. It's not true. Both are referring to after Gzar Din, after the decree. V'lo kashya, kan be Gzar Din she'yeshimo shvua, kan be Gzar Din she'enimo shvua. So we'll see now the Gemara is introducing another level. Apparently, again, not all divine decrees are the same. There are some divine decrees that are accompanied by a divine oath, and other divine decrees that are not accompanied by a divine oath. When the divine decree is accompanied by a divine oath, irreversible. When it has a divine oath, when it does not have a divine oath, it's potentially reversible. Kidrav Shmuel bar Ami. Dormo Shmuel bar Ami, but Amri lo Amr of Shmuel bar Nachmani Amr of Yonason. Minayim Gzardin Sheishimo Shvo Sheinu Nikra. How do we know that when you have a divine decree that has with it an oath that it is never torn up, meaning it's permanent? Shne'emar v'lochin nishbati lebeis eli im yiskaper avon beis eli b'zevach u'b'minchar. We'll say, listen to this, because what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Remember, Eli was the Kohen Gadol at the time of Shmuel HaNavi. So Eli himself was a very righteous man. Eli has two sons, Chofni and Pinchas, who were not good, and they did multiple things that were not good. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu therefore punished the entire family of Eli and said that all of the male descendants of Eli were going to die young. What the Navi is, what the Gemara is pointing out of here is because God didn't just hand down a punishment, but what did He say? Lachein nishbati. Therefore, again, I swear. Because He said, I swear. Therefore, what? It is an irreversible decree, and for all generations, the future descendants of Eli died at a young age. Amar Rava. They cannot go ahead and achieve any level of atonement with a zevach or a mincha, a karban or a karban mincha, about miskaper b'torah. So I'll say, interestingly enough, the family of Eli for all eternity suffers this curse of the male members of the family dying young. And they cannot be atoned for through any kind of offerings. But interestingly enough, the one thing that can endow them with some level of longevity is what? Is Torah. Talmud Torah. Listen to this. Abai or b'zevach or b'mincha. Rabbi said, the house of Eli cannot be atoned for through karbanos. However, but they can be atoned for, meaning they can achieve some level of longevity. How? With Torah and with gemilas chasodim, with acts of kindness. Listen to this, Rabbi. This is amazing. Rabba va'abaye made the base Eli ka'asu. Rabbi said, Rabba and Abaye were descendants of the house of Eli. This is amazing. They were descendants of the house of Eli, which means, again, they also were plagued by this curse of dying young. Rabba di asik b'Torah, Rabba who learned much Torah, chaya arba'in shnin, lived for 40 years. I will say the curse upon the male members of the house of Eli is that they were going to die before the age of 20. So Rabba doubled his lifespan. He lived till 40. Why? Because he learned Torah. Abaye di asik b'Torah gemilas chasadim, chaya shisin shnin. On the other hand, Abaye, who learned Torah and did chesed, ultimately what? Lived for 60 years. Tan Rabbanan. Mishpacha achas ha'isev Yerushalayim shahayu meisei ha'meisei b'nei Yerushalayim. There was a family in Yerushalayim that the male members of the family were dying at the age of 18. Ba'ovodias Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. They came and told Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and they said they wanted to know like what's happening over here. Amar lahem, Shema mi mishpachas Eli atem. Maybe you are descendants of the house of Eli. D'chsiv be v'chol marbis beisecha yamusu anoshim. Because the Navi says again that all of the members of your home will die as young men. L'chu v'isku b'torah. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai advised them, go and learn Torah. V'chayu, and you will live. Holchu v'asku b'torah. So they went and they preoccupied themselves with Torah. V'chayu, and sure enough, they lived. V'hayu korin osa mishpachas Rabbi Yochanan al shmo. And also, interestingly enough, they called themselves the Rabbi Yochanan family as what? As a show of gratitude for the fact that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai dispensed to them the advice that saved their lives. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Inya, Mishmei derav, minayin l'gzaradin shal tzibor she'eno nechtam. How do we know that the decree upon the collective, upon the tzibor, is never set in stone, is never sealed? Eino nechtam, is that true that it's not sealed? V'haksiv nechtam avonecha, but yet it says your sins are sealed. Elo, rather, how do we know that the decree of the tzibor, even once it's sealed, can what? Can be changed, can be torn up. Because the pasuk says, like Hashem our God, whenever we call out to Him. The idea is whenever we call out to Him means that whenever we call out to Him, we have the ability to influence our circumstances. But the pasuk says, seek out God. Bihimatzo means when he makes himself available, which means what, Rabbi Hossein? So what's the inference from that? When he makes himself available means what? He's not always available. Therefore, take advantage of the time that he makes himself available. So how do we reconcile those two ideas? Not a problem, says the Gemara. Hasam biyachid hacha betzibor. Rabbi Hossein, for the individual, there are auspicious times for connections with God. In fact, Rashi points out that this pasuk, Yeshua Hashem bihimatzo, refers to what? Aser simi tshuva. Refers to the period of time between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, where God makes himself especially available to us. The tzibor must take advantage of auspicious times for connections. On the other hand, that's the individual. On the other hand, the tzibor can connect anytime. The tzibor does not need auspicious time or ripe time. The tzibor could always connect. The Gemara says the following. So when for a yachid, I already said this ahead. So for a yachid, when is it considered an individual? When is it considered to be an auspicious time for connection? What is that referring to? It's referring to the 10 days of Tina Shana Yom Kippur. So listen to this. So now the Gemara says, we'll say, when David HaMelech is on the run from Shaul, so he comes across a guy by the name of Naval. So Naval, David HaMelech and his men had guarded Naval's flocks in the field. David comes to Naval, asks Naval for provisions, and Naval essentially says no. He says no, and he's very disparaging of David HaMelech. So what happens? The Navi says, and it was 10 days later after this encounter with David HaMelech that HaKadosh Baruch Hu struck Naval, and ultimately he died. So the Gemara says, Yud Yom Imaya Veretayu. Why 10 days? Meaning, if Naval was so disparaging of David HaMelech, why did God wait 10 days to strike him down? Why didn't God just kill him right there? Amar Yehuda Amarav, Kineged Aser Legimos, Shenasa Naval Avdei David. Both say it's actually very beautiful. Because when the servants of David first approached Naval, Naval himself was very stingy. But apparently, he gave them, there were 10 men that came. He gave them each a little spoonful of something. Right? A little something to eat. So in the merit of that small act of chesed, that small act of haknasas archim, he was given an extra 10 days of life. Rav Nachman Amar Rabbi Baravua, Elu Yud Yom Shevein Hashanah Yom Kippurim. On the hand of Rabbi Osir, Rav Nachman Rabbi Baravua, that why 10 days? Those were Aseres Yom Tshuva. Naval was given the period of time between Hashanah and Yom Kippur to see if he can mend or rectify his ways. When he failed to do so, Kadosh Baruch Hu took his life. But Rosh Hashanah, and also now the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, but Rosh Hashanah, Kol Bo'ei Ha'olam Ovrim Lefanav Kippnei Mar. Remember, in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says, All the inhabitants of the world walk before God, kibnei maron. So Gemara says, my kibnei maron, what does that mean? Hacha targimo kibnei amarno. Here we explain it to mean like sheep. And I will say already, Rashi in Mishnah already explained it. What is this? What's the image over here? The image is for Meister Behema. When you have a flock of sheep and you have to tie them, so what would you do? You'd corral all the sheep. you make a narrow opening that only one sheep could go out at a time. And what would you do? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. When the 10th one came through, you have a little red paintbrush, put a little smear of red on it. That's the maaser. That's the tithed animal. So to the Gemara is saying, when we come before HaKadosh Baruch, you know, in Judaism, we very often take the approach that there's safety in numbers. That's why, again, we like to daven together, we like to do mitzvot together, because then we pool our collective merit. On Rosh Hashanah, we each come before God like what? Like the sheep who go through the pen one at a time. There's no safety in numbers on Rosh Hashanah. We each have to come before God for our personal accounting. Reish Lakish says, Kimalos Beis Maron. It's referring to, actually, we'll say it's actually interesting. Some explain that Beis Maron actually refers to Meron. Meron, Har Meron, Mount Meron, which again, Abosai was one of the steepest mountains in Eretz Yisrael. So interestingly enough, the Gemara said that wherever it is, the idea is that this was a steep area that had a small staircase and only one person could go at a time. Same idea, just different imagery. That's what every person has to go one at a time before God. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kechayalos Beis David, like the soldiers of David. Soldiers of David were so strong, that they wouldn't march out in large groups, they'd march out one at a time. Amra Barachana, Amra Yochanan, Vikulan Biskira Achos. That despite the fact that we are going out one by one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu views us all together. Rashi says, Vikulan Biskira Achos, Apapi Sha'obrin Zacharze. See, even though we go out one by one, the Ribono Shel Olam still sees us, at least partially, as a collective. Amra Nachma Yitzchak, Afanan Amitanina. So too we learn this. Hayotzer Yachalibam. Hamevin el koma aseim. He created literally their hearts as one, and he understands all of their actions. My kamar, ilay mahaki kamar, dibarinu lekuli alma, umiyachid libayu ke'adad. Maybe you're going to say, what does the pasuk mean? If it means that God created all of us and made us like one another, that's not true. B'haka chazinan delav hachiu. It's not true. We're not like one another. Elav hachi kamar. This is what it means to say. Hayotze roa yachal libam. So we'll say it's an interesting idea. That what is it saying? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees all of our hearts together and he understands our actions. So we'll say this is actually very interesting because what I think I always felt the interpretation of this Gemara is the following. What I want the Gemara is saying is the Gemara is giving three different examples of the same theme, which is Rosh Hashanah is all about individual judgment. We come before God. We come before God based on our individualistic, our individual actions, and we come for judgment as individuals. What does it mean? The Chodesh Baruch Hu looks at us nevertheless as a collective. The idea is that life accomplishment is about two things. Life accomplishment is about what you're going to do for yourself and what you're going to do for the other. And sometimes, even if I don't have enough merit on my own for what I'm going to do as myself, for myself to spare me, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that I serve a benefit to the collective, that is also a zechus. That is also a benefit for me. See, even someone who himself is not personally worthy, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at him in the scope of the collective, has something to contribute that also goes for the merit of the individual. Says the Mishnah. Ashisha chadoshim ashluchin yotzim. I will say, so now, the Mishnah says that again, there are 6 months. Remember, this is still Kiddush HaKodesh. We're declaring the month based on the new moon. So Beis Din would go ahead and declare the new month. And what would happen to Mosai? Obviously, there were outlying communities that were not sure when Rosh Chodesh was. Because remember, in the Jewish calendar, a month could be 29 days or a month could be 30 days. So the idea is they used to send out 6 months throughout the year. The Beis Din would send out shluchim. They would send out messengers to announce when Beis Din had decided that the new month had begun. When do they go out? Number one, Al Nisan Mipnei Pesach. They go out Nisan so everyone should know when Pesach is. Al Av Mipnei Atainis. They went out on Rosh Chodesh Av in order to know when Tisha B'Av was. Al Elul Mipnei Rosh Hashanah. They went out Elul to know when Rosh Hashanah was. Al Tishrei Mipnei Takhanas HaMoados. But we'll say Tishrei, they went out in order to know what? When Yom Kippur and Sukkot were. Al Kislev Mipnei Chanukah. They went out Kislev to know when Chanukah was. Va'al Adar Mipnei HaPurim. Adar, for so know that when Purim was. U'kishaya Beis HaMikdash Kam, when the Beis HaMikdash stood. Af Al Iyar Mipnei Pesach Katan. And when the Beis HaMikdash stood, they went out for the month of Iyar as well. To know what? Pesach Sheni. Says the Gemara. V'lifku Nam Ya'atamuz V'teves. The Gemara says, if you're already going out for Tisha B'Av, why don't you go out also for Tammuz and Teves? Because remember, again, Tisha B'Av is a fast day. Why don't you go out for Tammuz? For the 17th of Tammuz and for the 10th of Teves. The Amar of Chana Barbiz and the Amar of Shem Chassi. The Ma'i D'Chsev, what is the meaning of the Pasuk? Ko Amar Hashem Tzivakal. So both said, this is the Pasuk over here. in Zechariah that discusses all the fast days. We'll go through them one more in the Gemara. Komash and Sevakos, Somar Avi'i, the fast of the fourth of the month, Somar Chamishi, the fast, the fast of the fourth month, Somar Chamishi, the fast of the fifth month, Somar Shavi'i, the fast of the seventh month, Somar Asri, the fast of the tenth month, Yihye LeBeis Yehuda, LeSasson LeSimcha, will be for the house of Judah, for Sasson and Simcha, joy and celebration. What's going on over here? Karilu Tzom, Karilu Sasson LeSimcha. So what's happening over here? On one hand, the Navi calls it Tzom, a fast day. On the other hand, it calls it what? Sasson and Simcha. So what's the pshat? Bizman Shiyesh Shalom. When there is Shalom. Now, I will say, what does that mean? There is Shalom. Look at Rashi. She'en Yata Obdeko Chavim Tekifa Al Yisrael. When we have Jewish autonomy, right? When there is peace, when there is Shalom, that the nations of the world are not bothering us, with Sasson and Simcha, then ultimately, again, these will be days of Sasson and Simcha. Ein Shalom, when there is no Shalom. When the Rebbe say, what does it mean for Sasson and Simcha? Rashi says, no hesped and no tannis, no eulogies, no fast days. Why? What happens if there is no Shalom? Tzom, then they're considered to be fast days. So Rebbe says it's very important because what the Navi and Zechariah is telling us is that the fast days we observe won't always be fast days. When there is Jewish autonomy, and ultimately, again, Jewish autonomy also represents the Beis HaMikdash, then in Emirat Hashem, these fast days will be turned into Yomim Tovim. When there is no Shalom, then ultimately, again, they're fast days. Amar Papa, Hachi Kamar, this is what it means to say. This is what it means to say. Bizman shi shalom, yulasasun al simcha. So listen to this. When there is shalom, the days will be for sasun and simcha. Yesh gezeras malchus tzom. Tzom in. I'm sorry. Yesh gezeras malchus tzom. I will say, when there are decrees by a Gentile government, then ultimately they are considered to be fast days. Ein gezeras malchus. However, again, vein shalom. I will say, listen to this. What happens, however, if there are no external governmental decrees, but what? There's also no shalom. And also, you can be in this state of where there are no overt decrees, but yet there is no shalom, because remember, at the end of the day, there's not yet a Beis HaMikdash. Then in that case, ratzu misanin, ratzu ein misanin. Then we have a choice. We can observe them as fast days or not observe them as fast days. Ihachi Tisha B'Av Nami. So what we're pointing out over here is, Rav Papa is adding in, it's not just two states. You see, in Rav Papa's model, in the first model of Rav Papa, so there were only two states, shalom, not shalom. In Rav Papa's second model, there are three states. There's ultimately, again, a state of shalom, in which case the fast days are Yomim Tovim, and shalom is defined, again, as no governmental decrees based on Mikdash. I'm throwing a base mitzvah, but we'll see. It's not necessarily clear that you need a base mitzvah for shalom. On the other hand, again, you could have another state where there is governmental decrees that's not shalom, therefore their fast days. And a third state of what? Where there is no governmental decrees, but there's also not absolute shalom. So again, when there's shalom, the fast days are yomim tovim. When there's no shalom, the fast days are what? Fast days. When there are no governmental decrees, but no shalom, then what? Then people have the ability to decide what they're going to do with the days. So Gemara says, however, Ihachi Tes Bav Nami. If that's the case, then Tisha B'Av should follow this own model, the same model. Meaning Rabbo said that if we live in a time where there are no governmental decrees, but there's no shalom, then what? It should be my prerogative whether or not I fast on Tisha B'Av. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa, Shiny Tes B'Av. Why? Hoil v'hoch b'lo botzaros. Because Rabbo says, again, Tisha B'Av is different. Tisha B'Av is different because it is a day on which there is compounded tragedy. To Amar Mar, Tes Ba'av on the 9th of Av, Charav HaBayis Barishona U'Bishniyah, the Beis HaMikdash was, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Nilkeda Beitar, the city of Beitar was destroyed. Remember, we'll say the city of Beitar was the last holdout of the Bar Kokhba rebellion, B'Nechra Shahir, and the city of Yerushalayim was plowed over. So we'll say, therefore, Lemaisa, Tisha B'Av, again, is reckoned separately. That although it can win every other fast day, again, it depends on the external circumstances, Tisha B'Av will continue to remain a Yom Tzom until when? Literally until there's redemption, until the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. So even if you live in a time where there are no governmental decrees, Tisha B'Av, everyone agrees, is still going to be observed as a day of fasting, since it is a day of compounded tragedy. All right, then we'll say, we're going to stop over here for today. Okay, we're going to start tomorrow morning at 5:45. We'll work our way through this. Emir Tashem, we will, at some point in time, we will catch up. All right, so we'll start off over here tomorrow. 5:45 tomorrow.